This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. So today, inshallah, we are going to briefly revise through the core themes and the main tafsir of Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin is one of the most famous surahs in the Quran. It is one of the most often memorized and recited surahs in the Quran. It is a surah about which you will find differences of opinion regarding its virtues. So, amongst the majority of Muslims, Surah Yasin is looked upon as a virtuous surah. It has, it's considered to be the heart of the Quran, and it has significance to be recited after someone has passed away. However, according to some modern hadith scholarship, the opinion held by many Salafi ulama today, they say that none of the hadiths related to the virtues of Surah Yasin are authentic. So, now this is a difference of opinion that you will find in the Ummah. The hadiths regarding the virtues of Surah Yasin, some ulama find them authentic, some say they are hasan, some say they are weak. There is a difference of opinion here. And Allah knows best. Personally, I believe there is some virtue to the surah. Otherwise, Allah would not have put such love for it into the hearts of Muslims across the globe. Right, so there has to be some special virtue to it. And so therefore, the hadiths, I go with the opinion of the more classical scholars, that the hadiths related to the virtues of Surah Yasin are acceptable. Surah Yasin is a Makkan surah. And this can be very easily seen from its format, its style, and its themes. Surah Yasin begins with huruf al-muqatta'at, with cut-off letters. In this case, the cut-off letters are Yasin, right? Which only Allah knows the meaning of. And in general, most of the surahs that begin with the cut-off letters are Makkan. There are a few surahs that start with cut-off letters that are Madinan, but even there, the verses that include these letters are considered to be Makkan. So that's generally a sign of a Makkan surah. The second sign that this is a Makkan surah is that the surah speaks about aqidah, about iman, about our beliefs. So, the bulk of the surah focuses on the concept of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, Risala, the messengers and their messages, the afterlife, the day of judgment, the end of the world. All of these are Iman or Aqidah related topics. So all of this shows that this is a Makkan surah, because that those are the themes of the Makkan surahs, right? The Madinan surahs tend to focus more on laws, while the Makkan surahs tend to focus more on beliefs. The third sign that this is a Makkan surah is that it includes a story about three prophets that were sent to their people and their people rejected them. This kind of story had more relevance to the Makkan audience than the Madinan audience. Because in Makkah, the people in general had rejected the Prophet ﷺ, while in Medina, the people in general had accepted him. So these types of stories were generally revealed in Makkah to give the Prophet some consolation as well as some encouragement and motivation to continue with his dawah despite the fact that people were rejecting his message. So all of these indicate that this is clearly a Makkan surah, and its themes are clearly Makkan themes. So what are the themes of Surah Yasin, which I briefly mentioned already? Number one, Surah Yasin teaches us the natural proofs for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah focuses on all of the signs of the existence of Allah around us. The things He has created. The design indicates the existence of the designer argument, right? We can take the argument from Surah Yasin. That around us are all proofs of the existence of an intelligent designer who created a system that works perfectly. From the orbit of the sun and the moon and the earth, to the way that ships flow in the ocean, to the creation of the various creatures on earth, all of these are proofs for the existence of Allah. So this surah provides a natural, logical evidence, or rather a natural logical argument for the existence of Allah as the only God. The second thing the surah does is it reminds us that this world is going to end and that we will stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment. So it is our responsibility to prepare for the Day of Judgment. It is our responsibility to live our lives in such a way that we are preparing for that day. The third message of the surah is related to the story of the messengers. Now what's interesting about this story is it's mentioned in Surah Yasin without any names. The names of the prophets is not mentioned, the names of the city is not mentioned, the name of the person who believed in them is not mentioned. This falls into the category of mubhamat, right? Stories in the Quran in which names are not mentioned. So this makes it a very it makes it a story which is very ambiguous, because the focus is on the lessons, not on the story itself. So the story in short is two prophets were sent to a city. The people rejected them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a third prophet, and only one person believed in these three prophets, and he was killed by his people, and he entered Jannah. And even in Jannah, he wished his people could see Jannah so that they would believe. Now, the purpose here is not on the story itself, but on the lessons that we can derive from the story. So from the story, we learn that it's not necessarily that people will believe in you if you preach the truth. It is possible that someone can do da'wah, preach the truth, convey it with full conviction and sincerity, and still be rejected by their people. This is an important lesson in our times, because many people nowadays, you know, they like to rack up high scores in terms of shahada. You know, so many people converted to Islam in my hands, so many people converted to Islam in my group. This doesn't mean anything, because Allah is the one who puts guidance in people's hearts. And it is very much possible that someone can be very sincere and very eloquent and very well versed in da'wah, but still his people may reject his message. So guidance is from Allah. The second lesson that we can take from this story is that truth does not lie with the majority. So in this story we have three prophets and one believer. Four people out of an entire city that believe in the truth. But that does not in any way stop it from being the truth. And again, we live in a time where the majority of people reject the truth, where the majority of people have embraced liberal ideas, modernist ideas, Western values. That does not in any way decrease the truth of Islam. Islam remains the truth, regardless of the fact that the majority of people no longer follow it properly, right? So majority is not an evidence in that case. A third lesson we can take from this story is the care and compassion we should have for our people, the desire we should have for our people to be rightly guided. So we see that the man in the story, he came running to tell his people to believe in the prophets. And even after his people killed him, he wished that his people could see Jannah so that they would believe in the prophets. Meaning, he genuinely cared about his people and them embracing Islam and them being saved from the hellfire. And that's the position from which da'wah needs to come. Da'wah should not come from a place of feeling superior. It should not come from a place of hatred. It should not come from a place of thinking that you're better than others. It should come from a place of genuinely caring for people and wanting them to be saved from Jahannam, from being saved from the punishments for disbelieving in Allah, from wanting them to have the best of this world and the next by embracing the message of Islam, as we see in this example. So that's a summary of Surah Yasin and what we learned from it this semester. I hope that you found this beneficial.